It's time for the panel, and clearly the economy must be showing signs of improvement because we've got some smiles on the faces of our corporate finance advisors that we've assembled for tonight's panel to talk about deal-making. Tomorrow night is the annual Dealmakers Awards, where the industry's top investment advisors, lawyers, sponsors, accountants all don their penguin suits and get to claim bragging rights over their peers and quite possibly become the butt of office jokes if the shivers is flowing a bit too freely. But I'm not going to reveal too much about that. To talk mergers and acquisitions, I've got an all-male panel tonight, not for lack of trying to persuade some of your female colleagues, but diaries didn't permit. Andrew Belknaves, Manager of Mergers and Acquisitions at Standard Bank. Andrew, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Quinton Honey, Director in the Corporate and Commercial Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, which has had quite a run of it over the last few years. Quinton, good to see you again.
Hi, Michael. Good to be on your show again.
And Christo Els, Senior Partner at corporate law firm Weber Wenzel. Christo, welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Andrew, kick us off tonight. If we're looking in the rearview mirror for a bit, we know the mood is good. Sentiment is clearly turning in the South African context, but last year was just all about political uncertainty. It almost felt like we were in a perpetual state of pause and wait and see until that December elective conference. How would you characterize 2017 in the M&A space?
I think that's exactly right. There was always the overhang in December for the ANC electoral conference, and that just brought a lot of uncertainty. But I think M&A last year was really driven defensively, in my point of view. So you did see quite a few balance sheets that had to be restructured. So either asset disposals or rights offers. Also think there's quite a lot of sort of regulatory restructuring occurring. I think some of the corporates as well, they had to look in different ways to create value. So I think our sort of Bidcorp, Bidvest unbundling success, there's quite a few corporates also at the moment just looking at unlocking value that they currently have on their balance sheet rather than looking at that sort of bold, acquisitive sort of story.
And that seems to be the case, Quinton, because earnings growth isn't going to come from the economy turning around in the environment that we saw last year. So you've got to look elsewhere to unlock value. So either that's ex-South Africa, which hasn't turned out all that well for some companies, or it's exactly that, unlocking value through supply chains or other efficiencies. What were the big drivers for you last year?
Yeah, I think I agree with Andrew. I mean, you know, as you referred to, you know, earlier on that 2017 saw a rather depressed M&A market, which is correct from not necessarily the number of deals and the value of deals, but very much so for the reasons for why those deals are being done. And a lot of those reasons are, so to speak, depressing in that they are driven by companies selling off non-core assets, distressed sales, companies needing to reduce debt, and then also companies seemingly being under pressure to look for growth opportunities, particularly outside of the country, and possibly having to do that sometimes in a little bit of a rushed and desperate state. And all of that has pretty much, you know, seems to be the underlying sort of factor or driver of deal activity in 2017.
One sector that does stand out for me, and Chris, I was chatting to Chris Griffith of Amplats earlier, is the mining sector has been reducing debt, deleveraging through the cycle now to the point where, looking at the Amplats balance sheet, debt down from 15 billion to 1.8 billion, really a lean and mean operation now. And he was very quick to say, we're not going to go out there and just bring volumes of PGMs to the market, not at these price levels, but we are seeing corporate balance sheets far healthier to perhaps undertake a far more aggressive acquisitive growth path into the future.
Yeah, Michael, I think that's right. I think in the mining sector specifically last year and the years before that, driven by all the things that Andrew was also talking about, you know, deleveraging in terms of not only balance sheet but also getting rid of some assets and just making sure that their companies are well structured. Whilst they were doing that, the commodity cycle obviously turning and so on. So they're at a point in time that the companies are looking healthier. From a South African point of view, clearly the mining chart, if that gets sorted out this year, I think there will be a lot of activity in that sector, both on regulatory side, there may be some transformational transactions coming and so on, but also just generally at a space where the mining companies are in different, you heard it at the mining in Durban a couple of weeks ago, where the CEOs were suddenly talking about positive acquisitions potentially in the market in South Africa, but also in sub-Saharan Africa. So I think those are, you know, all those factors work together to perhaps have a healthier M&A mining sector this year.
Yeah, the nature of the transactions being far more positive than the defensive, let's see what assets we can offload, which markets we're now going to exit. Generally, it was South Africa. Andrew, talk to me about the move offshore. And I think the bankers have come in for some criticism here. Very difficult to call a lot of these deals just yet, because a lot of them are still quite nascent. If you look that they were concluded in the last 2-3 years, already people are saying, well, they haven't worked, so therefore it's typical. You know, the corporate advisors just come in and they don't often add value. Is that fair critique?
Yeah, Michael, I think you sometimes win. So I think it was the Financial Mail maybe a week ago, the sort of passports in various jurisdictions and deals that are obviously being described as maybe not successful. I think you do need to see it through the cycle. I guess whenever you make a large, bold acquisition offshore, and some of these transactions are probably 40 to 50% of the company's sort of market cap, so they are absolutely, you know, huge strategic moves. The timing of that is critical, and I think you've only got to open you know, the Financial Times on a Sunday and look around the globe at uncertainty. We were talking about Brexit earlier, so we were obviously speaking around New Look. Who foresaw that coming along? I think as well some of the assets acquired in Australia, the, you know, the retail sector there has turned a little bit, but it's got to be about execution. I think those management teams, when they go to their boards, they present very healthy, robust business plans. It's about the implementation. I mean, I think guys do a lot of you know, due diligence these days. They shouldn't really be finding any challenges there. It's got to be about execution.
Talk to me about execution, Chris. So you worked on the Woolies deal, and you know, David Jones's locker has been bandied about. It's every sub's wet dream to have a heading like that to just bandy about. But it's actually about the nuts and bolts of the transaction, and why things go wrong is because A, you can miss time a particular cycle, but B, there are some deeper structural issues sometimes that South African management teams tend to ignore at their peril, or perhaps even underplay. Maybe ignore is the wrong word, but in the Australian market, what's been the problem?
Yeah, I think from that particular transaction point of view, there's obviously some Australian specific factors, and I'll talk to that now. But I think it's important to understand that in these types of markets, you know, we come from a stage where, you know, if South Africa is doing well, then all the acquisitions are onshore. If South Africa is perhaps under pressure, then all the acquisitions are offshore. Instead of moving to a healthier place where you're looking at the right target, whether they are in South Africa or offshore, and maybe we, hopefully through the next cycle, we'll get into some of that. I do think a lot of South African companies have struggled with foreign acquisitions because the markets are perhaps more difficult to understand than they anticipated, and certainly more difficult to execute than it would be, you know, in your home advantage, or where you have a home advantage. Australia in particular, the model of David Jones when compared to the model of Woolworths in South Africa is completely different. You know, David Jones is a very much a large-scale departmental store, we don't really have anymore in South Africa. There's not a shop on every corner of David Jones in Australia, so that model is quite different. I think the introduction of food into the retail sector in Australia is a fantastic idea, and certainly will improve that retail market tremendously. But it's much more difficult to do so when you have large departmental stores than you have currently in South Africa, where you have a Woolworths on most corners. So I think that is a challenge which they are overcoming. But, you know, again, you have to see the deal over many, many years. And I think a couple of years, as we've had now, is too short to judge that deal. And, you know, it certainly looks like they have the right people in place. They just, you know, need to execute correctly over a longer period of time.
Quinton, what's your take on the critique that M&A hasn't been the kind of value accretive exercise offshore that it was touted to be?
Yeah, I think a lot of South African companies perhaps are finding it a bit harder than they initially expected. I think, you know, generally the environment looked like there were good opportunities for deal making. Macroeconomic principles such as, you know, growth in Eastern Europe, for example, and good growth prospects in Africa, maybe giving a good reason for deal making, but not necessarily appreciating or giving enough thought to the softer issues, such as, you know, a different market and a different trading environment, something which South African companies are perhaps not as used to as maybe you know, large multinationals that are, you know, based in Europe and elsewhere in the world. And I think a lot of the transactions, the offshore transactions that South African companies were implementing, were as a result of, you know, being a little bit desperate to find growth opportunities because of the fact that, because of the sluggish economy in South Africa and the political uncertainty and the need to get some kind of a rand hedge to create a bit more stability.
Because if you look at almost 90% of that sort of capex for looking for growth was ex-South Africa. It would be very interesting to see how much of that returns to South Africa in the current environment, which we can unpack a little bit further after the break. Consciousness has a purpose in business and government in that it defines an organization's leadership and reason for its existence beyond the bottom line. It creates value for its stakeholders and a workplace of meaning, purpose, and productivity that transforms and uplifts society. So says Brenda Carley, the CEO of Conscious Companies. Nominate such an organization for the 2018 Conscious Companies Awards by the 27th of March. You can visit consciouscompanies.co.za or email awards@consciouscompanies.co.za. The 2018 Conscious Companies Awards in partnership with Classic Business and Agni Media. Welcome back to Classic Business. 10 to 7, we're talking to some of the country's top deal makers about the mood in M&A. We've been looking in the rearview mirror a little bit, Andrew. Let's look forward and looking ahead. That State of the Nation address seemed to tick all the right boxes for the market. There's a lot of positive sentiment. The action we've seen on the mining charter over the weekend, Cyril's not letting the grass grow under his feet. In fact, he's running every morning at 5:30. We can join him tomorrow. It's improving the mood, no doubt. What are the hot sectors that you're looking at in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of interest from investors. TMT, I think fibre is going to be a space where people are really trying to get that first mover advantage. They need capital now, or they're going to actually go out and acquire other businesses to make sure that they get that footprint. And I think overlaying that on TMT is, I guess, a move away from infrastructure and putting value-added services over it, whether it's fintech or other products, and that's going to drive a lot of innovation in the sector. I think healthcare has got a huge demographic dividend behind it, and we're seeing a lot of people moving into the private hospital space. Otherwise, transformation is going to be critical. I think you're now starting to see clear indications of where pools of capital are happy to sit behind certain individuals and sort of drive that black industrious program. Internally, names have been identified, and you can see where people are willing to support that. I guess what I'm really hoping for, though, is what's really going to move the needle is the foreign direct investment. And for that to happen, we need that sort of political certainty. It doesn't have to be high growth, it just needs to be certain. We obviously need that change in the political landscape, which I believe, you know, the new dawn of Cyril Ramaphosa indicates. And then finally, we just need that regulatory certainty. And it's maybe hard for the listener to understand, but, you know, we see deals fall over because of the ratings downgrade. We see deals fall over because people sitting on very mobile capital can go to Brazil, India, or South Africa, and they actually make those choices based on what they're seeing and the noise that they hear. So I don't think it will be maybe until the back end of this year, but hopefully 2019, really expect those large-scale investments to come back. Because you forget, you look at SA, people are looking at Turkey, they're looking at these other jurisdictions. It is an attractive destination.
And if we can get certainty, I've heard it said so many times before, Quentin, we can unlock vast pools of capital off of South African balance sheets as well. If you read the new deal that was published last year, certainty plays a big role in Ramaphosa's new deal. He's come out, and no surprises, that one of his first ports of call was the Chamber of Mines to sort out a big uncertain area around the impasse of the mining charter. So it does look like he's saying and doing all the right things. Are there any risks to that positive mood, though? And I say that in a week where we're going to get a very tough budget.
Yeah, I think, firstly, there's still, despite the optimism, there's still a lot of wait and see. That's basically based on the fact that we're still waiting for the budget. A lot can happen once we've heard what's in the budget. We're also waiting to hear some pronouncements by rating agencies as to what's going to happen. So for now, it's still a little bit of a wait and see. However, the mining sector is a sector which is particularly lined up for massive improvement if everything goes right and there's nothing sort of unforeseen which happens. The reason being that the mining sector has been plagued firstly by uncertainty, not only the political uncertainty but also the charter itself. It's also been held back by sluggish commodity prices, which, as we notice, has now improved and is looking a lot better globally. And then, of course, the mining sector is also driven by transformation and BEE deals. So there are quite a few drivers just within that sector which could really spark that sector if everything continues on the same sort of plane as it has since Cyril has been making all the right noises. And provided there's nothing that upsets that apple cart, things look positive from that perspective.
Christo, would you share that sentiment? Any other sectors outside mining, telcos, healthcare that would look attractive to you in this market? Does infrastructure remain an important one? I suppose project finance is not really, what we're talking about tonight. But clearly, there's still a massive need to invest in infrastructure in South Africa.
Yeah, Michael, I agree with everything that Quinton said. I think the other sector to look out for is financial services. I think you're going to see some M&A deals in the financial services sector, both on the banking side and the insurance side, perhaps. Andrew spoke about fintech. That's clearly also, but that's more in new investments, etc., and perhaps add-on type of M&A. But there's a lot of activity and interest in financial services, both in South Africa and making use of financial services on the continent. Everybody talks of the unbanked. And there's huge potential up in the rest of Africa as well. And on the insurance side and on the banking side, people are looking at opportunities perhaps north of the South African borders as well to increase investment there. So I think it all works together in that space as well. Those are just some of the I think probably the hottest kind of sectors we're seeing at the moment.
And on the flip side of that, I mean, any headwinds or obstacles that you see? Very difficult to call black swan events like Brexit out from here, but there don't seem to be too many of those big geopolitical events lining up. If anything, we've just got tax cuts in the US, which seem to be improving sentiment over there.
Yeah, I wouldn't try and predict black swan events around the world. I think that's perhaps beyond what I would be able to do. But from a South African point of view, we all spoke of the new sentiment at the moment, it's you can kind of feel it wherever you are, and I think that's incredibly positive. I think it would be problematic if people do not see some real change over the next couple of months. If we're 6 months in, and that sentiment only lasts for so long, so people are obviously desperate for hope, which is why the sentiment is so positive at the moment. But we do need to see some action in a number of areas. And I think if we see that, then it will continue. If we don't see that, I think that sentiment will quickly taper off and we'll get back to a more kind of muted or depressed state. I think that is important. Internationally, of course, there could be events that ultimately impact on us, whether it's some war in North Korea, for example, or elsewhere, that is always problematic for South Africa, even though we may not be involved, obviously. But for us, I think the main driver in South Africa is going to be our own local domestic sentiment and ultimately action.
And we just hope that inflation number in the US doesn't stall what we see as the Goldilocks scenario for global growth, because a lot of what we have going for us is also the fact that there are all of these global macro tailwinds just aligning as at the right time as sentiment shifts towards South Africa. Just as we conclude quickly, Andrew, your filtration process, how do you filter potential deals? What sort of criteria do you use? Do you look at a sector, do you go top down and say, well, what's transformational? What are the big investment trends or themes impacting a sector? Just take me through those processes.
Yeah, I think we're quite fortuitous, you know, being a large franchise. The relationships and networks we have, often transactions come to us. I do think as well it's about being in the flow of and conversing with the CEO and the CFO at large corporates. Often you pitch an idea, but it's actually typically the large deals, the big elephant deals are often brought to you. So it is about relationships. But in terms of filtering, I think it's a bit of it's an art, it's not a science. I think there's a gut and sort of instinct around this transaction's got legs, though there's always a few that surprise you, I think.
Well, we just have to take a quick break from the panel, but it shows you just how important those soft skills, the relationships are in this industry.